Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
I'm John Batson with Professor Richard Epstein of the Hoover Institution, commenting on the road ahead for the United States Supreme Court in 2024. The decision about the two words, insurrection and immunity. We turn now to immunity. The professor has written of this most recently at Defining Ideas. We need again an understanding of immunity for the presidents of the United States. Professor, we've gone over this again, but it seems especially acute now, given the troubles that the Colorado Supreme Court decision has made for Jack Smith immunity. How is it that Mr. Smith will prosecute this word, given the general understanding the president has immunity while he is in office from being prosecuted?
Well, I mean, it turns out this is a series of fine distinctions that have to be taken place. The first thing to note is every doctrine associated with immunity is in fact a judicial creation, because the word immunity does not appear in the Constitution. And it applies not only when you're talking about the president being immune from suit, but it also applies to the state as to whether they have sovereign immunity if they're sued for a breach of contract by somebody, say, from their own state or from a different state, where the answer has generally been yes. But the way you put the question is not exactly the right way to read it, given what the text is. The most famous case on immunities goes back to 1959, a case called Bar Mateo, and it used by Justice Harlan the very felicitous phrase, within the outer limits or the outer perimeter of his duties. So the argument is going to be, when he's running for election under these circumstances, he's a partisan, he's not doing this as a president, he cannot have a systematic advantage over his electioneering activities as against his opponent. And so if somebody who was trying to get into office did this against Mr. Trump, he would not be able to claim official immunity. Why should the president on the opposite side of this question get exactly the same thing? And so on the generalized immunity question, the Court of Appeal weighed in, and what it decided was, we don't have that kind of immunity. But this is a very funny procedural issue, and one has to understand the transition that took place. When the case was before Judge Shutkin, down below, she decided two issues. One was the immunity question, and the other was the double jeopardy question, having to do with whether or not you could be tried twice for the same offense. We put it to jeopardy of life and limb, by which we mean at this point virtually any kind of punishment that you have. And so the gap that we have to face is very different. Constitution is perfectly clear on the question that if the president is convicted of any kind of an offense, he could be subject to some kind of dismissal. It does not necessarily require that he be removed, because he can be convicted criminally for things that are lesser than high crimes, treason, bribery, and high crimes of misdemeanors. If it's the latter, then he has to be removed from office. That's the extent of the punishment. And then there's an explicit provision which says that he can be tried under state law. But the Constitution doesn't say exactly what happens if it turns out that there is an impeachment proceeding and it's a trial, and it's a criminal trial, and he's acquitted. What then happens to state proceedings? Well, the first thing to do is to ask, is this a real criminal trial or is it not a criminal trial? And the answer is, it's a real criminal trial. We can have criminal trials that take place in federal district courts. We can have criminal trials that take place within the military system. And we can have criminal trials explicitly designated as such with respect to impeachment. Well, if it turns out he's acquitted in a criminal trial, then that should kick in the double jeopardy provision, which says he cannot be tried for the same offense in the federal court. Like every other subject, the immunity stuff is very complicated under the double jeopardy clause. But there are a couple of points to note. One is, it has never been said that if you've been acquitted in a federal court, what happens is you can't be tried in a state court, because those are different sovereigns, and the definition of immunity seems to be sovereign dependent. But on the other hand, if you're acquitted in a military tribunal, they can't bring a civil case against you, because both the military tribunal and the civil provision are agents of the federal government. And so, too, is this. So I think, in effect, what happens is, if you look at these kinds of provisions, what you have to say is, once he's acquitted of all of these offenses, he stays acquitted. Well, there's another problem here that you have to worry about, is that the charges that you have in the one case are never exactly the same as the charges in another case. And so if you plead insurrection in one case, i.e. the first one, and you don't do it in the second one, you just talk about incitement, is this going to be the same case? And there's a very clear rule here, which is you cannot avoid the double jeopardy situation by taking a single nucleus of operative facts, all the events that took place on January 6th, and then slice it into parts, and then try one little part of it here, lose on that, and say, I'm coming back again to try a different case, and a different case. Double jeopardy essentially becomes a meaningless protection if the government can do what we call splitting the charges, making multiple cases, the kind of farce that Alvin Bragg did in his various civil pursuits. So my view is, if the whole thing was up the first time, the whole thing is barred the second time. And I think that Judge Chutkan was just wrong. And what she starts to say is, well, the first case is not really a criminal case. The problem is, all impeachments are criminal cases. None of them are civil cases. And she says, well, it'd be really odd to say that you would be acquitted and then you're immune from everything. But that's exactly the whole point of the American system. Our criminal charges are very serious, and we don't want to have multiple sequences of them. Indeed, many people, myself included, have serious doubts about the idea that you get exposed to state punishments if you manage to be acquitted in the federal system. And the reason we're worried about that is we don't think that these decisions are going to be independent of each other. And so you don't want to get yourself, I think, into a situation where the federal and the state guys look at each other and they say, well, that guys are going first, and if they lose, the state guys will jump in their ass. That is, the risk of coordination between the two parties is so serious that you may want to even rethink that particular rule. And then the question is always going to be, well, just how fundamental is the double jeopardy provision? And it's kind of an interesting historical evolution. If you go to the classic definitions of fundamental rights, and you're talking about procedure and natural law, or due process, the only things that were probably covered in 1868 were the rules about bias on the one hand, you have to have a neutral judge, and the rules about having the opportunity to be heard and to present your case with fair notice of the charges that are against you. And that notion has been steadily expanded in the American system as we start to include more and more things in the fundamental rights of due process. And so in the early 1930s, the Supreme Court Justice Cardozo, no less, said double jeopardy is not a fundamental protection. The only things are those two mentioned. And then in the 1960s, under the Warren administration, one case after another said things that used to be selected out from protection are now built into it, including double jeopardy. And so that now has a higher status in general American constitutional law.
We have one minute, Professor.
And if we have higher levels of protection, then you have to respect this. So the next question you have to ask is, where are we going next? And the answer is, this thing is surely going to be appealed at some particular point in time. And on this case, the question is much stronger for Trump than it is on the general immunity case. And so my guess is, if you actually take it, I think the correct answer is, and I think it's likely to be affirmed, is that the double jeopardy provision starts to protect them. It's going to work in this particular case. It's not going to work in all other cases. It's certainly not going to deal with the Bragg case. And it's not even going to deal with the Fannie Willis case, because she's not worried about January 6th. She's worried about all the jawboning that took place right after the election in the good state of Georgia. So this thing is going to be a complete mess. But the one thing I'm sure about is, we're not going to have any March 4th trial. The only things I'm not sure about is everything else that's going to follow.
Professor Richard Epstein of the Hoover Institution at year's end, looking to 2024 for many more conversations about the challenges of the trials of Donald Trump. This is CBS Island World. I'm John Nash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend, because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. and there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love, with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at spinquest.com, SPINQUEST.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit spinquest.com for more details.
It's Cybersecurity Awareness Month. LifeLock is here with tips to help protect your identity. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication, report scams, and update your software. And for comprehensive identity protection, LifeLock is your best choice. LifeLock alerts you to suspicious uses of your personal information and fixes identity theft, guaranteed, or your money back. Start your protection today with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. Terms apply.